All right, this is Pure Decking Note Show number 26 for Thursday, June the 30th. I forgot the year.
1979.
Wow, I'm really off here. I was thinking it was up in the 2000s. Obviously, tonight I've got with me Knox and BSV.
Hey, guys. Hello.
Oh, yeah, and I'm Morps.
Are you sure? You couldn't remember the date.
I don't know anymore. I don't know who I am. Anyways, so I was hoping to have Suave on tonight because I've got a new story that he could really have some insight on, but you guys will have to do. So,
yay!
And I'm expecting Heavy to show up in like 10 minutes and be, you know, it's like, hey, why'd you start the show without me? It's like, well, you weren't here. So
time works that way.
Yes, it does.
Yes, I've been meaning to try to figure out how to stop time so I can do more stuff, but it hasn't been working well.
It would be nice to be able to, you know, just be able to pause it and take a nap. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know, but then you need more time for your nap, so you might want to add more.
Well, you know.
I don't know.
Actually, the only problem with that would be aging while you take your nap. And, you know, outside of time, so, like, your lifespan gets, you know, like, cut in half because you keep taking breaks
that
to get
robot
stuff done.
Body will take care of it.
There you go. Well, hey, if you can stop time, maybe you can speed it up, too. So you can, you know, put yourself into a cocoon and get that robot body when they finally perfect it. Which, I hear they're getting close. There was some stuff on Hackaday the other day for controlling electronics by sensing your muscles. And that's some sexy stuff.
Mm.
Did either of you see that?
I believe you posted the link.
I may have. It's not in the show notes because I didn't think about talking about it tonight until it, you know, just now. So, because, you know, we're pro here. We plan these things out. We follow the scripts. Because that's what you do on internet radio. You follow the script.
Follow the script, open a beer, same thing.
Well, that's what they do on the regular news, right? on, like, real radio, isn't that what they're doing? Scripts and actors?
But network news, they get some hard liquor there.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, they get the good stuff.
Well, I am drinking more of the Blue Moon Summer Honey Wheat, even though I'm not supposed to be drinking alcohol right now. I have decided, fuck it, I want a beer. So, anyways, so first story here, fun one. This story is fun. You might want to pull up the article to get the full quote from the judge in this, because it is amazingly bad. It's an Ars Technica article. Judge tells Google sniffing even open Wi-Fi is wiretapping. They haven't actually decided that in court, but the judge says it might be. So, pretty much it's a big class action suit being brought against Google from, you know, this has been going around and around and around, and I think Germany sued them over this too, where Google's Street View cars were collecting Wi-Fi data to, I think they were trying to map where access points are to use for location data, probably for the Android phones. And they figured out, oops, we were collecting random packets from Wi-Fi as they drove around, right? And so a lot of people have sued them. And here's the funny bit. Google could have just went, oh, we're not supposed to have that, deleted it, and called it a night. But because they disclosed what was going on, they have been sued from here to high heaven. I mean, you know, here that's the thing, though. Google did the right thing. They said, oops, we accidentally collected this stuff. Didn't mean to. Our bad, guys. And all the lawyers just, like, went insane. I mean,
they smelled the blood in the water.
Well, we never would have known they were doing this if they hadn't owned up to it, right? Google made the press announcement that this was going on. The stuff was misconfigured. We're sorry. And yeah, I mean, it's still going on to this day. I bet they're regretting that press release.
I don't know, but how can you type it? How can you wiretap it if it's wireless?
That's a good question.
And so these were just open, unsecure packets, right?
Well, what they were doing is they were using a modified version of Kismet, and they had the packet dumping option on, right? And you know, as they were driving around, they were trying to map where. They were geolocating access points. It's the same thing anybody does when they're war driving, right? They're war driving, except they were doing it while they were doing Google Street View in an attempt to build a giant location database. iPhones do the same thing. I think they licensed the Skyhook database or something like that, whatever it's called. So, you know, they were trying to build this data, and yeah, you're right. This stuff was in the clear. It was unencrypted, broadcast. I mean, if I get out of FRS radio and start yelling into it, I have very little expectation of privacy between me and whoever else I'm talking to on that radio.
I don't see how you can get charged for that.
They've got a big thing, but the winner here is if you pull up the article and scroll down to the judge's quote, and I'm almost wanting to read this thing verbatim just because it shows this guy has no idea what's going on. Let's see. While the plaintiffs may plead that networks or electronics communication server were configured in such a way that the general public may join the network and readily transmit electronic communications across the network to the internet, plaintiffs also plead that the networks were themselves configured to rent. I'm not going to read that whole thing because the guy didn't exactly use English correctly. And here we go. Render electronic communications unreadable and inaccessible without the use of rare packet sniffing software. That right there tells me he doesn't have a fucking clue. It's like, you really don't know how
rare
these things
software.
Work. Oh, no, he was saying if you didn't know how to use the rare and specialized packet sniffing software, you couldn't read Wi-Fi packets going over the air in the clear. It's called fucking Kismet. let's see here. Air dump? Any number of the WPA cracking suites? I mean, it's not rare, it's not hard, and it doesn't require anything specialized, just a Wi-Fi radio.
Yeah,
he says that the judge is trying to make an argument here that, you know, Google asked for the case to be dismissed, basically saying, look, we may have inadvertently collected data from open Wi-Fi networks, but they were open Wi-Fi networks. You know, that's public access, so any expectation of privacy is pretty much out the window just because they were ignorant of how to set up their own stuff, right? And the judge is trying to say, well, just because they were open because you could get on and use them, they may have been intended for public access, but it doesn't mean you had permission to sniff their packets. And it's like, okay, that might be true, but without any technical, it's fucking broadcast. They picked it up from the street.
It's not like they tried to do this, so they're lacking a motive element there.
Well, that's certainly the truth. But, I mean, they picked these packets up from the street while driving a car. I mean, they were literally being broadcast.
That's the same way you get hookers.
Think slightly different concept, but...
I mean, I guess, and I love the guy's use of rare packet sniffing software. It's like, really? Because I thought it was free on the internet. That's where I get my packet sniffing software. I just go into the Googles and punch in, packet sniffing software. Or, pull down any Linux distribution. It's called TCP dump.
Yeah, that's one thing that I don't really like about most of the stuff going through the CERT system.
Judges don't really seem
to understand anything, so it's whatever you make sound on technical, they will buy.
You're using the internet. You are probably downloading music illegally. 5 years in jail.
pretty much what the judge did, though, I'm just skimming the article again here. He did dismiss a bunch of the state level claims against Google, but he's trying to charge them under the federal wiretapping portion of the case. And that's what they're actually charging Google with, is wiretapping. And the thing here that confuses me about that is, when he says these statements like, well, just because it's public access doesn't mean you had permission to look at what was flying across the wire. Well, they didn't. I mean, they were just... that kind of data. And plus, too, as you're driving down the street, you might be listening to, unless you had a red light or something, you're probably going to have a connectivity to that network for, max a minute. So what are you going to get? You might get an email. I mean, you're usually just going to get fragments of packets. And if they're running a torrent, God help you sorting what is and what isn't useful. I tell you what, torrents drive my IDS systems insane. Just because, I mean, it's random data going over random ports, and when somebody happens to hit a port that's, shared with something else, oh, man. So, anyways, though, I wanted to point out this story that apparently, because they don't really know what's going on, now I also should say they're allowing the case to move forward. It's not a ruling on it. It's just in his opinion, there's enough to move forward with the case. So it's pseudo legal precedent, and until the case is settled, you don't have to worry about them having true on legal precedent. But that still concerns me. Because if they're going to start saying, oh, well, anybody running packet sniffing is wiretapping, because, well, not really. And since I do packet sniffing as a daily thing, as part of my job, now it's not, you know, we've got user agreements, so it's not as big a deal, but yeah, I can see this getting carried a little far much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, next one I picked out here, this is one I was hoping Suave would be around for because he would rage. Another Ars Technica article. Paramount sent a cease and desist to a guy who made a 3D replica for those home 3D printers, like the cupcake CNC thing, like Suave has. He made a replica of the cubes out of the Super 8 movie. Not having seen the Super 8 movie, I'm not, you know, 100% sure what's going on with it. But they sent him a cease and desist under copyright. They claimed they own the shape.
Cube?
No, they're it's a cube with a bunch of subcubes, and it kind of looks like a mathematical fractal. But apparently, it's a prop out of the movie, and they're claiming copyright on it.
Is he selling it or something?
He put it up. Let me pull the article up here. He put it up on. I think he was selling the model. He put it on Shapeways. Yeah, he made it in a CAD program. He put it up on Shapeways. I don't know if it was for free or not. I don't know if you can even sell these things on Shapeways. I'm just going to pull up Shapeways and see because I didn't check. He may have just been giving it away, but if you pull up the article, you can see the image of the... It's just, you know, cubes stuck to cubes stuck to cubes. And they're claiming they own that shape. Yep, there's Heavy saying, Ed, please.
Shapes are rather iffy territory in copyright law because...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too.
Yeah, you remember the Xbox controller weighted doodad that spins around for the rumbles.
Yeah, wouldn't
they got like hell over that?
Wouldn't this fall into the purview of patent, if anything, since it's actually? Well, I mean, yeah, it's instructions for a machine to reproduce a shape. So I guess I don't know how you claim copyright on a shape.
Oh.
I mean, even though it's a unique shape,
it's how it looks, not how it functions.
I mean, it's a movie prop, right? But the dude complied. He pulled it down, and I don't blame him because Paramount has lots of money and rabid lawyers, and I'm sure he doesn't. So I don't know. But we did add Heavy to the call. We all hear his Darth Vader effects going on there. Hey, bud, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Oh, good God. Move the microphone away from your mouth.
Okay, how about that?
That's a little better.
A little bit. I can do more.
There, that's good right there. It sounded like you had the microphone in your throat.
And we're working on that. Depending on how frugal I am with the vacation money, I might come back with a couple $100 and get a decent mic. We'll see.
I tell you, I've actually already ordered the shock mount and pop filter for mine, so...
Yeah. It is well worth having, yeah.
That's you guys and your fancy mics.
Can I get the Google Doc?
No.
Oh.
Okay. No.
And come on, man. You're supposed to be on your game here.
Okay. Come on, man. We're live. We're live.
We are live. We're just straight to tape. And do we even have a listener? I haven't looked.
If we did, it probably is gone.
We're recorded live, so if we ever have an event.
Live to tape.
Live to tape. Okay.
If you're actually listening to this live, we're not meaning for you to actually pick this up, so we're going to sue you for wiretapping.
In the future, when you're listening to this, you complete us, when we actually become successful, and you come back to listen to this episode, remember how bad it was and how much we've improved. There you go.
I think we're doing pretty good.
Remember how great it was so you can complain about the new stuff not being as good.
That's true. Well, I mean, we're on show 26 here, and I haven't given the show up yet, which is a record for me. Yeah. I mean, how many other shows have we started and they got through, like, you know, episode 4?
Exactly.
You know, BSB and I both have some...
Oh, wait. It was stuck on 7.
Yeah, it was stuck on 7 for a long time. But, I mean, well, we got a few out, you know, on the old Nameless Review show.
Yeah.
In our 7.
One day the archive will be thrown on the website.
No, it won't.
I'm keeping up their hopes, damn it.
No, just destroy their hopes. I don't think they want to hear it anyways. It's not going to be very relevant at this point. I mean, we reviewed Minecraft, for God's sake.
Minecraft, that's not even out yet.
Yeah, it's still in beta.
Yeah.
So
you guys were talking about the dude that rip-wrapped himself a movie prop and a replica and got a cease and desist notice.
No, Heavy, we were discussing ways to burn your house down.
That's not hard. It's made of wood.
Oh, he's pre-soaked it in gasoline for us. How handy!
This is why you always build your house out of stone.
No. See, I have...
Stone is like twice as hard to burn down. $180,000
replacement policy on the house. If it burns down, I get a better one.
Okay, you heard it here. We've got his confession on tape. He burnt his house down for the insurance money. We were trying to say we're trying to figure out how the hell how do you copyright a shape?
I would say that if it were a functioning prop, in other words, it looked and it was colored as a part of like very distinctive part of the movie, then you could say, okay, the dude made a replica of something because you have licensing rights for all of the merchandising, right? So essentially he's making a replica of the merchandise.
Yeah, but he didn't actually make a replica. What he made was a 3D computer model that was instructions for a machine how to make a replica. He didn't actually make one himself. I'm sure he did, but I mean, that's not what he was distributing.
And so essentially, if he'd just done it for himself, then I don't think they would have bitched. If he said, look what I made. I made a prop because, you know, there's
so many people
known?
That... I mean, that's... No, the point I was getting at, though, is I'm not sure that you can copyright... the thing's a collection of cubes. I mean, how do you copyright... It's
maybe
a square.
Maybe we could show a picture of this somewhere.
They did on the article.
Or I can check the notes.
Yeah.
Gee, imagine that, you know?
I mean, it's a pretty specific thing, but I mean, the thing looks like a math fractal. I mean...
If he did it as a math fractal, they've got no case against him.
Yeah, because it's numbers, right? I mean... So...
Unlike that guy who apparently copyrighted pi as musical notation.
Oh, yeah. That was silly.
And apparently, that's in, like, music textbooks from, like, 20 years before he was born, anyways.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like...
Yeah, if this is something that's general knowledge, how to make this, especially if it's a mathematical process, then, yeah, I don't think they get it. They don't have a leg to stand on.
Look at the design of the thing. I mean, it's a big cube, and then it's, you know, cubes on each side. I mean, it's not that unique of a shape. Yeah, it's kind of neat looking, but, I mean...
Yeah, I've fractals like that in a textbook here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Now, it's a moot point because he's already pulled it down. I'm just trying to wrap my head around...
I don't
around.
Know. If I was in the right, I'd still pull it down as soon as this lawyer started at me.
Oh, yeah, no, because it's they have the lawyers and the money, so it's like you're not going to win. So
yeah, basically, I mean, you just give in, but you could... In theory, you could go to the Electronic Freedom Foundation.
Hey, Heavy, you've got a lot of mic noise, man.
Okay.
Yeah, that needs to... We're going to have a meeting about this, and,
We've had meetings about this. I think it's just,
Look, the problem is we've had the meeting, but we haven't had the TPS reports yet.
Yeah, exactly.
But the copier is jammed!
I believe you have my stapler. I'm going to burn the building down. Anyways, love that movie. So, anyway, so that's pretty much that story. We've beaten it to death. And as much fun as it is to beat a dead horse, Microsoft is trying to get a patent on the back doors they're going to put into Skype.
Yeah.
Yeah. Normally, if you have back doors, you normally want to try to keep those secret versus patenting them.
Oh, well, if you patent it, you can license the technology to somebody else.
Uh-huh.
And I doubt they've done it yet because they're still trying to get the patent. But they're saying they're doing it to comply with CALCA? C-A-L-E-C-A? What is that? That's the...
COICA?
COICA, yeah. It's the law that basically says you have to give the FBI backdoors into your stuff if you're a telecom.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. But the fun part of the article, while they're sitting there talking about all these backdoors of Skype and people are out going nuts about that... you know, the fun part is the last paragraph. The company aims to incorporate tracking technologies for its Skype services as it aggressively expands its mobile advertising system across the world. Skype will likely soon have ad targeting and user profile digit strings attached.
Wait. So they're going to ad target our voice conversations with the FBI involved?
Oh, yeah.
No, think about it. Okay. Google and Microsoft and everybody's already got fairly good voice recognition technology now. In fact, Google's little experiment where you could hit the thing and talk into it was pretty good. And Microsoft is working on technology to let them break into Skype calls and listen in. So, and now they want to be able to uniquely identify users through ad targeting and tracking numbers on Skype.
Yeah, because Skype isn't profitable, so they need to make it that way. This is how they're going to do it.
Well, possibly, but... I
advocated for raising the price on paid services so that it was profitable, but whatever.
Or possibly advertising it more as a phone service that they're...
Yeah, everybody uses it as an instant messenger, and I mean, we're not paying for it, and we're doing conference calling on it.
I actually pay for Skype just because I like to have the backup information, you know, voice connection to someplace if I need it.
If I want VoIP, I'm actually going to set up an asterisk box and get a VoIP provider. I'm not going to use Skype as a fucking phone number just because I've had too many problems with it crashing and their client has been getting really shitty lately.
Mm. Yeah, I was talking to RU about that earlier. I said, you know, they're bringing it in-house. They're trying to basically take what was a decentralized software and basically make it, you know, centralized a little bit so they can do the ad-supported shit. So it's going to be crappy before it gets better.
They're probably going to integrate it with their link crap and take the good parts of the technology, do what they want with it, especially the peer-to-peer stuff for getting around firewalling. And then just as opposed to getting around firewalling, just speak directly to peers, you connect back to home base. And then connect from there, and then home base connects you with whoever you're calling. So you'll probably also get worse sound quality and more lag if they're trying to listen into your calls. So, but that's the thing, though. I mean, we're sitting here broadcasting it live, so who cares? But given some of the conversations we were having before the show started, I don't want somebody listening in on my Skype calls. I mean, even if it is for the FBI, I mean, I understand you're worried about drug trafficking and all that other stuff, but you see, the thing is, when you get into the realm of the digital, you're like, okay, here's what we can do, as opposed to the old system where you used to have tape running all the time and people going through the tapes listening for keywords like, you know, bomb and hair comb and you know, assassinate the president and shit like that. Now it's all, you know, you can automate it because you got the voice recognition technology. So now you just put in your Google keyword search on the Skype voice recognition and up, there's the tourist. I mean,
exactly. You know,
and the sad part is that kind of shit and then saying, terrorism, that actually cheapens the real argument against terrorism. It's like, well, no, there's actually a real problem with the crazy people who want to blow up planes and buildings and you're cheapening it by calling any criminal a terrorist.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Exactly. And that's the problem, is they throw the word around way too much for it to mean anything anymore.
Well, it's like I hate the word hacker because it gets thrown around by anybody who doesn't understand what somebody is doing on a computer. Oh, well, they must be hacking. It's like, no, I mean... I mean,
he knows the buttons to throw grenades.
Yes, hacks.
Yeah, exactly. And it comes down to usability, too. So we've got, you know, right now or in the past, Skype has been pretty damn stable for the most part. And we've been using it for other things, too. So what are they going to start doing? Tracking file transfers over Skype, too?
Oh, probably. I mean that's the thing, though. They want – it's Microsoft. They're looking for data aggregation. They're looking for a way to push more ads and, you know – I'm worried that Skype is going to go the way of AOL Instant Messenger comes to mind, the old Real Player, where it starts basically being a host for spyware, tracking what you're doing, and you get the random pop-ups from time to time. Yep. Has anybody else used the free version of Trillion? That thing is fucking annoying.
Not in a long while.
I'm using it on my work box right now, and I'm debating whether I want to find something better or just, you know, pay for it, because the ads are annoying as hell. It actually puts ads in line in your IM conversations.
Yeah. It's yeah, that's the problem, is that these things start out really cool. They're really solid, really low-profile technology when they come out beta and in the first generation, and then they got to figure out how to make money, and then they fuck everything up. So
when I stopped using Trillion, it had just started using keyword ads where it'd highlight one of the words you typed and make it a link to one of the
ooh, I never saw him do that. I used Trillion a long, long time ago, and I started using it again lately because I remembered it did what I wanted. And, yeah, I'm really not happy with it, so I'm probably going to go grab Pigeon or something because I'm tired of some of the bullshit. So, but, yeah, I mean, it's the same damn thing, right, where how long before Skype is doing the inline ads? How long before they're, you know, pausing, you know, we'll return you to your call in progress after this message? I mean, that's what YouTube does.
Exactly.
They okay, they're not as bad as Hulu, but you know, it's like every time you go to watch a video, it's like, you know, watch our 30-second ad to watch this 15-second clip of a cat falling off a chair. It's like,
well,
what? No.
The user is deciding where those ads go, at least.
And they're deciding if their ad is there. If you choose
so
to give it away
for
free.
So if somebody using ads for something, some video that's not really worth it to you, you can just stop watching them.
That's true. But, I mean, you know, fuck, I don't watch a video if it's got an ad on it like that. If it's got a 30-second ad, I'm not watching it. I turn it off. I go do something else. But it's gotten to the point now where, like, Flash games play ads before they open up while they're doing the preloader. And it's just like, what the hell? I mean, Hulu stops you right in the middle of a damn video to show you an ad like it's fucking TV.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for Skype to do it. Well, I know.
I don't have a problem with the free version of Hulu having ads. I get that ad supported is fine so long as I'm not. And that's the thing. People don't remember that television didn't used to have a subscription cost to it. They were ads, and that's how you paid for the content, is by watching
the
ads.
My understanding was the pay for side of Hulu had the ads too.
My understanding was that for cable television, when you paid that subscription, you weren't supposed to get ads.
Yeah.
They soon changed that.
Well, I was over at my dad's the other day, and we were watching the original Buck Rogers black and white TV series, and he said maybe 30 seconds of ads throughout the entire thing. The guy would come on in the beginning, do the product shot, and then about 15 minutes to the end of it, they'd come in, do another product shot, 15 seconds, and you're done. They'd tell you what it was, they'd hold it up and buy our product, right?
Well, but you go back to that era of advertising, too. The advertising was actually serving a point. It's, here's our product. It exists. It does X. You should go buy it. I mean, that was it. Now you've got this stupid shit where they're breaking in all the time. You got to figure out what the hell the ad's for half the time.
This kid's running. Is it a shoe commercial? Is it a shoe commercial? No, it's deodorant.
So, anyways, I think we're going to roll into our musical break here because I didn't have time to sort anything out before the show. We're just going to play a little bit of Patient Zero. Wow, I don't mean that the way it sounds. We love Patient Zero stuff. It's just a good fallback when I haven't found anything new.
Yeah.
So let me find an appropriate track.
Patient Zero, the old reliable.
That's what it is. That is exactly what it is. It is the reliable stuff. So here we go. I think this is appropriate. So we're going to mute the Skype call. There we go. And mute myself.
Answer it now.
All right. Let me get the call back here. There we go. So, anyways, I thought for the second half of the show, we'd talk about Skype alternatives because, when Microsoft originally bought Skype, you know, when we've talked about it on the show, actually, what I had said was, let's wait and see what they do before we condemn it. Well, now we see what they're going to do. So, yeah.
Well, like even before guys. That, they've pretty much given up on maintaining it in the right ways. So.
Yeah, they're going to run it as a Microsoft property, and they're going to try to make money out of it. The problem is they're going to try to do it in a way how many other scummy web companies have done it. I mean,
don't worry. It'll get more popular because it'll be part of your Windows update.
That's, you know, I'll bet that's true. I bet they do start pushing it with the with Windows, especially because it's a great vehicle for popping ads up on your desktop, right? So, unless you pay for it. And if you play for the Enterprise version, I'm not even going to go there.
No. If you pay for it, you get premium ads.
Oh, God. Don't even.
No, it's true.
Hey, instead of penis pills, they get sharper image ads.
Woohoo! Hang on. I got to put the call down. You guys are a little hot.
Okay.
Check. All right. Knox, give me a check.
Check.
Perfect. Great. Okay. Now that we're not blowing out the waveform, I must have turned it up too much when we came back from break. My fault. Anyways. So, I mean, you know, it's interesting, though, because how do you approach the idea of a Skype alternative? Because there's not really good programs out there that do the exact same thing. You know, for example, Google Talk is an instant messenger. I think you can do file transfer across it, and you can do video.
You can also do direct phone line with it.
And you can do phone line, and you can do, you know, video chat, but you can't do the conferencing, which sucks, at least to my knowledge.
Now, I think you can if you have apps, if you pay for the full service.
I'd have to look, but you know, on the free side, certainly not. Now I know they just came out with a Google Plus, and I haven't had a chance to look at that like at all. So I know you want to talk about that heavy, but I want to wait until I've had a chance to look at it, so we can at least have an intelligent conversation. And so that might be Tuesday with the Google Plus stuff. But if it's a Facebook clone, I'm not going to be terribly interested, and that's all I've heard about it so far. So, you know, there's Google Talk, and, you know, Google Talk has the advantage of you can pull it up in the fucking web browser, right? You get in Gmail, and there it is. And it's got an API you can hit with Jabber, which is nice. But, I mean, you know, when you're talking about Skype alternatives, are we talking about, you know, instant messengers that happen to do voice? Are we talking about telephony services that also function as instant messengers? Because, I mean, Skype has always kind of filled a very interesting niche. You know?
Well, its main strength was that it covered all those communication niches.
Yeah.
And it was more the center of the room thing.
Exactly.
And it didn't really had good quality for main part of it. So, because I know there's other stuff.
Okay.
Like Steam has similar stuff, but the quality just isn't there.
Google Talks Lab Edition. I just looked it up. Will let you do it. So basically you have to have Google Apps, and then you can use it as a group chat option. Okay. But you have to pay for it, basically.
You got to pay for the Labs option. Well, you know, if G15 takes off and we put up, you know, if that donation box goes crazy,
woo, which I have... Bitcoin coins.
I haven't even set that up. So, and I don't know that I will set it up until I feel like it's ready. It's like, okay, the station's up and running. Now I can put this up and say help. Because, you know, when you're showing up with something that's half ready to go, like, the station's kind of been in test mode for a few weeks. And just you know, little inside note here, the broadcast box has made it 206 hours continuously streaming now.
Wow.
Without a crash. And that's recording shows.
That's better than my cable company.
So, yeah, switching the hardware was definitely the right move.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm happy about that. But, so, you know, this gets back into, well, what are we looking for an alternative to Skype? Do we want instant messenger or what? Because, I mean, you know, if you all you want is good conferencing on voice, you know, there's TeamSpeak, there's Ventrilo, and then there's Mumble, which is what we use for IHN.
Yeah. Okay, so one of the things that, are you is doing is he's doing a show that's a call-in show. Okay, and so one of the things that we need as a feature, and I think for the other shows at some point that we put out there, we need ability to have an outward-facing phone number for people to call in, and especially if we start doing some remotes, where I'm out, you know, down in Detroit, or I'm across the other side of the state, or Schwab's moving around without a good connection, that voice connection will be less laggy and more reliable. So we've got to have that option. That leaves us with a couple things, right? Asterisk Box would be able to do that. But what would we do for chat? You know, that's the question.
There's another thing to keep in mind as well. It's accessibility, because we were getting a lot of people running through the show when it was in Second Life.
Well, and that's true. And actually, Second Life, you could argue, would be a Skype alternative, because it's voice chat, instant messenger. You can send links over it. And, you know, I've thought about setting back up some Second Life LAN to advertise the station on.
Uh-huh.
The only problem is I was paying a lot of money last time for Second Life Land, and I kind of feel like it's dying. Now, we moved over to the OS grid for IHN stuff, and that's been handy. It's worked really
well. Actually, it's been doing somewhat better since they got rid of that guy who was actually planning on it to fail.
Yeah.
Well, are you suggesting we should take another look at Second Life? I mean, you know, it's they had that light client too, didn't they? Where that was like voice chat and text chat.
Look, well, I don't think we really want to be renting a plot or anything unless it's like timeshared. We shouldn't be doing that, because that's still
actually expensive. I was thinking if I was going to do it, all I would do is reactivate the old premium account and then take one of the free 512s they give you. That's, you know, got the house in it, and it's like, I don't know if they're like apartments.
Oh,
or
yeah,
what,
I haven't tried those yet.
But TAC had one for a little while, and I don't know that he ever did anything with it really. But it was like a little space. You had a 512.
Back when I had a premium account, I was planning on getting a 512, you couldn't buy one. They were all sold out everywhere every time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's why we bought land out in the world for a lot of our stuff. Of course, we were doing a lot more in SL at the time. Knox, you were active in other communities besides IHN and Second Life. I mean, are you still in there much?
Yeah, I've been a little down on social activities for a while, but I'm getting back in. I'm hanging around with the avatar builders and.
Do you think it'd be worth it for us to look at, you know, getting back in there to advertise the station, maybe start doing the IHN in there again? I mean, I love the OS grid, but I think, you know,
one of the reasons that pushed us out of Second Life was that the voice servers kept crashing on us at really inconvenient moments and getting really poor quality too.
Well, that's true. You know, we had the nice thing though was that the voice service, we had individual control of people's volume levels, so you could actually go through and level out.
It may not have been as polished, but we had a lot more options and control.
I think the main reason we left was it was just too expensive to own.
That's why I got rid of my land. If somebody else wanted to pick up land, we could have moved the show there as opposed to going to OS Grid.
That's pretty much why I gave up my land. I liked building stuff on it, but it's like, that's costing a lot.
You guys got the Minecraft, so it kind of replaced that for you too, the building thing.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I like my OS Grid region, but we don't really do much in there. And part of the problem is that you get on OS Grid, there's like maybe five other people on at the same time.
It is not taken off, and it probably won't take off because there's no advertising, there's no community push to get people into it. Plus, it's not even really stable yet or standardized.
Well, the server is now horribly out of date. I really need to take it down and get it all up to date. And I've also found out where I'm hosting the server. Their power is going to be out that Friday, so it might even be down.
Yeah,
we might not have the server for the show next week.
Well, we can just mumble client it in for that one.
No. The mumble server runs on the same box, Heavy.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is your server. I thought.
Yeah, my server's going to be without power that Friday, so it's going to be down whether I want it down or not, so I'm probably going to manually shut it down so it doesn't get screwed up and then have to do something to get it back up.
Never mind, we'll be Skyping it in.
Well, Skype's going to track us, man. I did find two that looked like, you know, when I was digging around, I tell you, searching for Skype alternatives, you find people with all kinds of blog posts, but mostly what they're linking to is junk. They say, oh, well, Apple iChat is an alternative. Well, sure, you know, everyone has Macs. Let's see, the other big one, of course, they push Google Talk, they push, oh, well, Facebook has chat in it. Oh, my God.
No, it doesn't. Well,
the new Google thing is maybe eventually when it comes out, but the thing I'm seeing in it is it has an arbitrary limit of 10 people.
Yeah. So. Well, and you know, I mean, I kind of don't mind the idea of going back to SL.
I think we should
SL,
be able to push past arbitrary limits right now. Yeah, I think it's more an interface issue for that level of program right now.
Yeah. Well, I found two. I did find two that looked like they were pretty well direct Skype competitions, but they really are pushing themselves as voice over IP services, not, you know, Skype alternatives. The first one I found was VBuzzer. And it's kind of, their website, it's kind of hard to tell what's free and what's not. I got the feeling, it looked like, you know, PC to PC calls were free. Conferencing may or may not have been. I couldn't tell on that one. But it did have iPhone and Android apps, and, you know, you'd get a phone number and you'd call out. But, you know, and it had the instant messenger file transfer, video conferencing, stuff like that. And then the other one was OVO.
What else did you, and you found another one other than that?
OVO. It looks similar to VBuzzer in that it's got video conferencing. Both of them had video conferencing. I'm just not sure which ones were free.
Yeah. And I've heard of OVO before.
Yeah, OVO was supposed to be a Skype competitor. But its free side looks pretty limited as well. They're really pushing their pay-for services. So, I mean, I don't know, man. You know, we all kind of settled in on Skype and stopped looking for new stuff. So,
I guess we need to start moving on.
Well, I never really stopped looking for new stuff. It's just that Skype was only professional level one that we could access for free.
Yeah, that.
Well, the audio quality out of my Mumble server is awesome, but it's not anywhere near as friendly. I mean, it's like, I mean, I don't want to leave Second Life or, you know, OS Grid running all the time to use it as an instant messenger, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the thing is I have a Skype app on my phone that works pretty good, at least on the text messaging side of things, and is, well, it's just because of my data signal sucks.
Well, the voice is
laggy.
You all have told me you can't tell the difference when. Well, very. It's hard to tell the difference when I'm on my iPad,
right?
Using the Skype app.
Exactly, and you're running, you know, a better processor, and you probably have much better signal because you're hooking it up to your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I'm hooking that into the Wi-Fi there. I mean, I've tried to do it over the cell signal before, and you all just told me no, which reminds me, I've listened to a couple of the old recordings. Heavy, next time you're Androiding in, if you don't have Wi-Fi, I think I'm just going to say no, because they don't sound good.
No problem. I figured as much. That's why I've been actually staying home, so I can just, you know, do it for my PC, because it is a pain in the ass. So, yeah, until they get, we'll do one more test shot with when WiMAX rolls out my area and see if that's any good. Otherwise, yeah, if I'm not on, I'll just say I'm not on.
Yeah, fine with me. The VBuzzer and OVO actually look like they could be alternatives. But then this raises the next great question. How the hell do we get everyone moved from Skype over to these things? Because, I mean, it was pulling teeth to get everybody out of SL and into OS Grid. And they didn't have a choice because I was taking my LAN down.
and we weren't really beginning. I thought I could get some LAN together, but I wasn't being given much opportunity to talk out about that.
Well, if we'll talk about that off the air, Knox, if you want to look into going back into SL, because I know. You know, RU has mentioned stuff about that too, that we don't have as many people wandering in, and it's kind of harder to recruit now that we're kind of off in the
and talking about being in the middle of nowhere.
We're off the grid.
No shit, we can't get much more off the grid and still be on a virtual grid.
I would like to point out that we at least had occasional real female listeners and occasionally jumped in and actually were on the show at one point in time.
That's true. We did have.
And some really good stalkers there.
Yeah, we had a really fun time with the stalkers.
And we can't just march across the land and advertise our show, too.
Well, and you know, the other thing is with OS Grid, It's a hell of a lot easier just to get into SL and have your voice work. So, you know, I mean, I love my OS Grid server, but if we look at going back into SL, of course, we got to get with the rest of the crew about this. I'm all for it.
Just, you know, maybe we can just get Baldy to let us squat on his land for a little bit.
Yeah, he took down his stage, though.
That's fine. I don't care about that. We don't really need anything but a skybox for what we're doing.
We'll look into that. I mean, you know, well, on the upside, if we do, I can turn that server back into a Minecraft server.
Ooh, now you're talking. No, I'd like to keep that as a backup if we could. I mean, you could be a Minecraft server and then an emergency mobile client server too. But
You know, we can look into it. We can also just go straight Ventrilo or TeamSpeak. You're supposed to mumble.
Didn't we try that before?
I'm not aware.
Okay. I downloaded Ventrilo in the last week you were using it, but that's about it.
Okay. And then the other option is, that does get to the opportunity of getting in and actually recruiting people, which is important because we did have people come in and, you know, join the group, and some people got kicked out because of, you know, well, basically they were
crazy. Come on. Wait. I'm crazy, but I embrace this fact, and I'm the dangerous kind, so it's okay, right? Wait, no, something's not right in that statement.
We're relatively coherent, and at least when we're not coherent,
they were the crazy people.
As well as your concerned mopes, you're okay to stay.
Oh, good. I would hope. It's like, no, we want you to run the, you know, we've got the radio station, we've got the shows, but we don't really want you around. Can you just, you know, hide in the background there and, you know, work
the
mixer?
Delusions of grandeur are fine as long as they're not delusions of grandeur and the things we're grand in.
We're all going to have to draw lots to see what we each grand in, okay?
Hang on, that's worth it. That's worth it.
Toasty!
Okay. I have so got to build. I am building a new audio workstation. And we've got 8 minutes to kill. I can talk about that since we beat the Skype thing to death and got into a rabbit hole in Second Life.
I would say everybody, look at getting a high definition webcam because you're going to want one. That's all.
No.
I'll also want a makeup crew.
We're not.
And the wardrobe department.
I am not going to video. I decided that a long time ago. Galaxy 15 radio is not going to video.
Now,
No, that's fine. No, you can do the radio part of it.
Audience, we don't want to stay away.
Back some 14 years ago when I first got Mr. Internet, when I was
Mr.
looking at video
Internet.
Chat.
Is that what your creepy uncle made you call it?
But back when I first got video chat, there were some things out where you could use a 3D avatar or something, and
Vermal.
Really bad voice syncing that you could do.
VRML, God, I remember that. Oh man, that shit sucked. I remember actually fooling around with that stuff, trying to make a 3D chat room, and
it was more of a What was it? The video was kind of along the lines of stop-motion animation?
Some of it. Actually, I remember when I played around with her, you had a 3D chat room you could move around in, and it was just a box, though. You could put wallpaper on it, but I don't remember what this thing was called now. But I experimented because I was trying to look for a way to put stuff in there, furniture and props and stuff. And I figured out you could make images of what you wanted and sign in bots to be your furniture. So I actually had bots to be my furniture in that VMware chat room because there wasn't another way to do it.
By the way, thanks, Sharon Lanier. I hope you come up with some product that actually succeeds at some point in time. You know?
Well, you know. Anyways. So
he also invented the 3D glasses that didn't take off either.
But anyways, what I'm actually planning on building for the station, I'm going to put together an audio workstation. I've got this old $30 Walmart job desk, and you know I've been complaining about my broken soundboard, and part of the reason I haven't built a new one is I need a case, and I suck at making cases. So, well, I mean, it's not that I suck at it. It's just they're hard. They take forever to get right because you got to get them square and everything else. And bending Lexan, it's not exactly the, I bend them with a hand torch. I don't have a strip heater. So trying to make cases without a strip heater, without injuring yourself using a little hand torch, it's kind of, it's an interesting proposition.
You must burn for the cause.
Yeah, screw that. I'm going to start cutting holes in this desk and put the buttons right in it. And I've got, like I was saying earlier, I've got some nice microphone mountings coming in. So I'm going to get one of those flexi things. Actually, I think I've got one floating around here somewhere. I'm going to make a proper microphone mount as opposed to this little desk stand. So all this background noise of, me typing.
And as our data clearly shows, humans cannot be trusted.
I think you typed a little hard there.
Okay, when trying to make noise on the keyboard, remember, you have other programs. fuck it, I'm calling the show there. I don't think I can think of a better thing to end on. You all say, if you've got anything closing with, I'm looking for.
I don't know, you could have accidentally closed out of everything when you pounded on the keyboard.
That's happened before, too. Let's see, what would be a good closing song?
IHN, he's professionally unprofessional.
Well, I've got nothing. I have nothing.
But, oh no.
I'm closing the show. I'm closing the show. There's the call muted. There's me muted. Here comes the music.